to facilitate national and workplace productivity. Of course, arguments that are looking at productivity. And we need to look at arguments that are looking at how to rally community around ourselves, because each time we leave them behind, we have a lot of disruptions. So looking at programs that speak to the community and also mobilize them to work in a collective manner. And the other commitment that was key to the in the NGP was the one that saying you have got institutions that are in existence now, you have got NEDLAG. You have to strengthen, and we need to strengthen NEDLAG, and need to institutionalize these approaches as we move forward. And if we have done so, we should be able to see information flowing amongst all the partners, whether it's business, whether it's trade unions, whether it's public sector. And that at the end, our engagement of all of us should be able to reduce the cost of that particular kind of engagement. So in that way, a number of areas that were eminent, that needed immediate attention, in a number of areas that needed immediate attention are called the form. One is that we spoke about issues of employment where youth was highly affected, and we said, should we sit and look at this, and we then had the youth employment accord. We then said, we have got a problem with our skills. Can we sit down and have national skills? We didn't have national skills. We looked at how to deal with issues of education in the future, that basic education is important. Then there's a rally around building into a future rather than taking at the end point. We then look at the emerging economies that are coming out, the green economy, as to can we create more jobs, because we need to push more confidence into our society in terms of what jobs we did have, man, and then also have one on local level. So this report today, we're going to be speaking on that, you know, reflecting on how far are we, what are the things that have been done, and what more we need to do, as the chairperson said. So we'll be starting, we'll be going straight to our presentation on, starting on set 7, speaking on the National Skills Accord. Those are the organizations that have signed that accord and say they've got an interest in this one. And the government was represented, if you could see, by education at the center of it. So education was in representing itself, was actually representing all of us, because this education was actually our channel to make inputs in the accord. These were the commitments, and I guess members have looked at them and seen what it is that we're committing on, and I don't want to go into that, otherwise I will take the whole time of the portfolio commit. I'll focus on, out of those accords, what is it that have been done? And out of the activities that have been done by all partners, we have seen that 26,670 artisans, as a result of those accords, were trained 2013 to 2014. And this number was, it's over 1,670 out of the targeted amount that we'll do. If you look at the report, you'll see that. And of interest here is that government, at the level of a government department and the private sector, that's what is interesting, Chair, that the government and private sector actually surpass their targets, with the private sector at 101% in relation to this. The area that we think that we want to pay attention to is our state-owned or state-owned companies in this particular one. We think that we need to see what it is that we can actually do to them to do more out of what they're having, because they're still lagging behind below around 77% of the whole contribution. In the blue side, we're actually indicating that what are those things that have been done thus far. ESCOM having provided 5,078 ship, Transnet 3,598, so it's SAA, DINEL, and SAFCOL, and with regard to FET and what we call now technical, you see, as we go on, it will change, technical, vocational education and training, is that on the side of government, there's commitment, because before I was talking about in general, on the side of government, we have made it, the Department of Higher Education have come up with a white paper that ties itself to certain commitment of the improvement of the colleges. And we have seen in the a bigger post-secondary school building program in the past 8 years coming out of in this particular period, with 10,700 beds being added in the institutions, and 500 new lecture of theater done, and also like we already know that there are 2 universities and universities. And all of them are structured around the issue that has been raised during the discussions and the report. Our SOEs in this regard are contributing in terms of finances to support the programs in the various in the various colleges, in the various FETs, and 11 of them contributing a total of 8.8 million. There is an issue around matching of skills and the training that is taking place in the FET. I have indicated earlier on the commitment, the white paper by the Department of Higher Education. On the other side, we also have a business initiative, it's not business initiative, that has completed a component of engineering profiling what is required in the industry and what must be done at the college level. So this profiling has been done, and the next step is now to mention the various industries and also to be able to see where the needs that are there in the industry are actually catered for in the college, and then and take it further from it. On a basic education course, these organizations that are representing us in the course, and they have their commitment as follows. What are these here of poor performance? What are these schools that are actually performing poorly? The other ones that are being better, we have those. And they chose to focus on those that are performing poorly. And as a result, we find that 1,180 underperforming schools were identified and adopted by social partners, various social partners in this case. And in the adoption, schools benefited, some of them, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of education support systems, and also educators and other forms of support. The average period for the support for the school was 3 to 5 years, and we have seen out of that a commitment, and I think there's something that from the 150. Basic education ended up identifying and verifying the number of new schools in our country. Just out of that partnership, by the way, interacting with all of this, that is not 150, I must say, correct, that is, it's only 500 schools. I don't know how did we get 150 like that. But today, 77 of them have been completed, and 108 at the provincial level have been completed, and the program is still going on and is supposed to be lasting for 3 to 5 months. On the local government side, we have the organizations as outlined there, the ones that have committed, and the commitments were as listed, the leveraging of public procurement, the rolling out of infrastructure to support for local manufacturing, and investment in the domestic sector, just to mention a few. So what has been achieved here out of this commitment is that the national government department has committed to procure goods and services worth 60.5 billion in 2014. 40 and 5. And state entities and provinces will then report procuring 130 billion more. So in the MTSF, there's a commitment that we have 75% of local content local content for state procurement by 2019, and it will be increasing annually. It won't be descending as such. So these are the commitments that have been done in there. And one just to indicate that the DGI and the National Treasury has also designated specific industries already to determine the specific local content that is supposed to be handled. So these industries are like, these are the designations, examples of the designations that we're having. You know, the bus bodies at 80% of the content, and textile and clothing 100%, and power pylons as they are until you go to telecommunication. So if you procure for the state, or if the state has to procure from you, you have to be meeting this content in your supply. So you can't give us 100% the supply of prices from outside, and the components that are inside it are like 100% imported, so we always have a problem. So this is what it actually means. On the infrastructure side, the PICC has put in a legislation, and in the legislation there is a commitment made for local procurement, the prioritization of local procurement in that locally. And that item that is on top is just indicating to us, in just in terms of equipment, how much the state actually committed to as well. The PIC has also established a localization office in the IDC. The localization office assists both companies and also the PICC itself in terms of which are the areas that have been designated, and also identify which are the new areas, I mean, for the companies assisting them, these are the areas that have been designated if you want to go into this this sort of environment. But for the PICC to say, what are the other opportunities and opportunity areas that they can we can do that. There is also, and we're also exploring in those particular areas of production of car bodies and bookies and custom equipment and all those that we have just mentioned there, the boiler shoes and so on. We're exploring on how best we can actually utilize the distribution for these particular areas in our our state owned companies. On our state-owned companies, ESCOM committed 3.1 billion on contrast capital expansion that is going to be done. That there is that has been awarded to local companies, and then we have got 99 billion of ESCOM suppliers on capital growth program. Prasa fleet renewal was 7,229 coaches, which are built in South Africa, also will be built in South Africa between 2015 to 2025, and the Transnet will be contracting 1,064 electric and diesel locomotives. And out of this 1,064, 1,000 will be locally produced. IDC has facilitated new production, because if you designate on one side, you must have a production on the other. So what IDC does for all those that have seen an opportunity in this world, they are able to then assist, and in this case, have assisted in expanding of the steel pipe factory in Krugersdorp. and a low medium voltage isolated copper cable in the tennis lane, and also a due diligence is underway now for the timber plantation in Emperor and Guazulu Natal. On the local public transport, we have already spoken about the use of VRTs. I think the committee is now familiar with that, that we're doing the assembly is in Johannesburg and Cape Town, and that 100, even beyond the fact that we are assembling them here, 112 of those buses had 80% of the inputs for the bodies being produced locally. And that the IDC has supported also now a funny that is coming in with a new bus program to assist them in the investment in a new bus factory in Sunny to supply bus system. And also two new factories have been open to assemble mini buses, and we've spoken about this again. And as from 2012, we've got local assembly and means that we're no more importing. So by 2014, 21,800 new minibuses were actually produced from here. On the consumable side is that clothing and furniture has been identified as areas where we can actually produce more jobs. And we want to indicate out of that that during this period we can report that the Department of Tourism, which was finishing its own office and the IEC in Tshwane and the COST, have spent around 25 million on local furniture, making sure that what we are procuring is actually at the local level. And Gauteng has included local production requirement for the tenders for 180 million in Beijing. And 50% and 75% of recent pharmaceutical tenders worth billions have gone to local producers. And we just want to put that case that IDC always, because IDC is within EDD, IDC has been reorientated to focus on how to facilitate for new remote entrepreneurial work and also industrialization. So in this case, they have identified a company in commerce in KZN, which is employing 134 people, and it produces workwear for government, and they have supported it so that it can actually sustain that employment. In this case, the private sector, in terms of the work that has been done on local procurement, wants to indicate that this is a missing part. The private sector progress is still audited. USA and BLSA, they're busy with other issues also with the BLSA in relation to this. They've got the issues that we have to sit down and clear them off in relation to the signing of this accord. But USA is busy doing in relation to its members and the assessment of what is it, the audit of what the members are actually doing. In the green economy, those are the organizations that have signed the accord in 2011, and these are the things that will prioritize your roll out solar water heaters investment, green economy, retrofitting, and economic development in green economy and provoke motion of localization. So in this one, what we can report, because the main focus was on the rolling out of water heaters, and the other areas were processes, because they needed regulations of processes, And we can report that thus far, yes, companies have been established that are interested in starting the 10 industries. But we can not report the outcome now because it hasn't reached that particular one. The only one that we can report on is the rolling out of the 1 million name visa. So 443,947 solar heaters were rolled out by 27 June 2014. And we want to indicate that if they were having a potential of rolling even over the million, but we slowed down the process because the first supply of the heaters, we identified challenges because there was no local content in them. So we were like taking the heaters from somewhere and bring them here. So when we were dealing with the issues of localization, we had to the process actually slowed down and it was for a good cause for that matter. And also there were issues around maintenance issues in the geysers that were picking up to say, here are the geysers and then who's maintaining them, and we had to be cautious on working out. So there are the next steps in this one, which is saying what NEGAT is going to be. Yes, the Department of Energy is going to be rolling out the additional 200,000 by 2015, 250,000 by 2060. And we have now designated the local content to 70% of the collectors and 70% of the solar water tanks. And we know that the Department of Energy has entered into an MOU with the FET colleges to train students in the installation and maintenance of the solar water heaters. There was a commitment also on adding to the grid renewable energy. And thus far, we can report, as it's put there, 3,725 was a target, and 3,725 was achieved, which was an overachievement. And in the next coming year, 3,906 would be added in the coming years. The Department of Energy has announced a further allocation of 3,200 megawatts by 2020. By 2020. IDC again comes in this area to facilitate opportunities. It has achieved a funding of $5 billion in green projects per year, $16 billion in green energy sector over the past years of investment. Which is broken down in that, of which the 30 billion of it was more on the renewable energy what is that IPP? The rest of the and about 320 in green manufacturing was also invested, that has created 767 jobs, and also those investment in Koha, and 120 was dispersed today by Green Fund that is administered by the Department of Environment. On the energy efficiencies, the partners have performed as follows. The average weekday evening peak demand reduction has been from 297 megawatts as from 2013 to 2014 April. And also, these are translated into 45,200 megawatts per hour in our system, and that we are told that we can electrify Mangaung as a whole. So it's an achievement that can reduce our inflation. On biofuels, we can only report that thus far we have diverted the blending has been corrected as indicated, and that currently the Department of Energy is finalizing the position paper on the South African Biofuel Regulatory Framework. There was a commitment also on waste recycling. We have discovered that a number of waste recycling projects have been initiated by NGOs. And I must indicate, Chair, that some of the NGOs that we find as we're reporting, the one that we're feeding back, some of them didn't even sign. So they're just participating because they see it happen. So it's something that going forward we're going to consolidate on. There's a suggestion that we need to call a conference of all principals on their accords, so that even those that are not there, to see how we can actually accommodate them. Again, on the recycling, we've got REDISA, which is Recycling and Economic Development Initiative of South Africa. This is an initiative by the private sector, and it was on scrap tires, on recycling of scraps. And this is the commitment that they've done. So it's a private sector initiative that has resulted into this amount of work being done. On the employment accord, youth employment accord, it was signed on the 18th of April 2013, and these are the organizations that were involved. And this is an accord, the only accord where we even have a political structure coming in. It's through the activeness of the youth. You can't close them up. So youth from across political spectrum of South Africa has participated and wanted to monitor exactly what it is that ourselves are actually doing, assigning on, and they have made an input. And out of that, these were the commitments that were made, and they were very succinct areas of commitment on education and training, on work exposure and public sector measures, and on new targets set aside, and also on youth entrepreneurship and youth cooperatives in private sector measures. I'm just reading them because they have compacted them and indicated exactly where they want the impact to be done. So on the progress on second chance metric, we have got 3,648 second chance metric that were assisted in this financial year. And this has been increasing all along, and that is conducted by NYDA. It started somewhere from 3,164, and now it's at 3,648 intake of a second chance metric. This range from programs which are sponsored by the state, by the non-profit organization, and companies and trade unions. Department of Education has also developed a white paper on post-secondary education training plans, training plans, communication and colleges that will focus on lifelong learning. And Gauteng has introduced community schools, and with over an average of 90,000 learners per year. And this year I know that they've got about 91,200 that have been admitted in. These were just the indication as at the end of 2030. That GADRA is Grahamstown Area District Relief Initiative. It is supporting 125 students. But those 125 students, they are provided with a tutor. They have got other programs that they are actually running, which has got a bigger number, but it has got adults, people, and we haven't yet disintegrated that number into how many of those are actually used. And they are running to a number of around 2,000 or so per year. On the work exposure, government has facilitated the placement of 3,159 youth with the Department of Labor taking, Department of, am I correct, ETC? There's something wrong when we say government is facilitating the replacement of 2,159. Department of Labor, 11,175. By March, NYDA, 1,984 by the end of March 2014, and a grueling 1,000 unemployed right week within the municipalities. And the public sector provided close to the 30,000 internship opportunities. So those are the things out of that agreement, as actually out of those agreements that have been achieved thus far. On the private sector side, APSA has supported traineeship for accountants and attorneys and technologists and scientists, which was targeting 130 students, and the figure was the budget was around 15.3 million, and we haven't yet audited what is. That exactly has happened, but that was a commitment that they have reported on, because it's one of those that are still under still auditing. Leadership program for the entry level of unemployed youth and school leavers, with an annual investment of 47 million for about 675 school leavers. Standard Bank, 19 million to support 125. Alexander Forbes support 100 youth for 3.5. Harambe places has placed already 6,056 youth. Harambe is a private initiative as well. On the work experience for graduate, 11,163 graduates from FETs have been supported, and 3,731 graduates from the University of Technology were supported and were placed. So 11,951 professional started internship in articles, and in medicine also that number that is indicated there, the nursing graduates, the law graduates, and the accounting graduates are undergoing initial tests for competencies. So all those were the contributions that have been made as a result of the social accord. We have got a case study of SAICA, which is like an agreement, an activity between a partnership between SAICA, the South African Institute for Chartered Accountants, and ourselves, and they agreed to establish a business hub in 2012. And in this business hub, what they do is they take unemployed graduates and newly graduates, and they capacitate them, and they send them to SMEs to assist them in terms of their bookkeeping and various aspects of working. And they have made quite a remarkable progress, and SMEs are beginning to say, no, why can't they train us also as owners? And it's something that they are beginning to raise. They have a total of 225 graduates that we place in the program, in this program for small and medium enterprises. On the public sector internship, we have over 77,000 young people since 2009 that have benefited out of internship programs. And in 2013-14 alone, 19,952 interns were employed. With regard to 15,952 on youth in public employment, at the end of 2014, 492,000 youths were by the end of 2014, a total of work opportunities reserved for youth were 492,000, and they were taken, and that constituted 49,000 of the total available. The National Youth Service, coordinated by NYDA in the youth project, had 600 young people by the end of the second quarter of this year, and 1,220 by the end of the third quarter. At least 7,400 work opportunities were created in metros and districts and municipalities. On the youth enterprises and cooperative development, IGC set aside 1 billion rand and CIFA 1.7 billion for youth empowerment enterprise the coming 3 to 5 years. CIFA approved today 81 million and dispersed 58 million to youth owned enterprises in the financial year that has passed at 1340. The IGC approved 19.5 million for youth empowerment enterprise from Grow from the program called Grow EM commitments in the financial year 2013-14. An additional 31 million was allocated for the youth empowerment by the IGC from other sources, and the NYTA spent 40 million to benefit 43,000 young people as part of the youth enterprise program, with 3 million going to co-ops and 28 million for grant loans. On the incentivizing the private sector, we know of this one, we have passed it ourselves at, and we're just reporting on the figures that are reflected, which are 133,000 young people, 11,000 are employed by 11,000 employers. And in this case, what we're going to do, we want to evaluate the impact because we've got different kind of different signals of feedback as to what is happening in this employ of the youth, by the youth that are participating there, and those that are supposed to participate and never participated in those companies. So I think in the subsequent report we'll be able to unpack what were the issues that they are generating. In conclusion, Chair, is that the social dialogue process has made huge progress in setting our priorities, mobilizing stakeholders around inclusive growth and development. Monitoring and evaluation, we think, is very critical, and we are beginning to institutionalize ourselves. The Minister has designated me to focus on this social accord, and we will be focusing on institutionalization, I mean, putting in appropriate institutionalized systems that will work, make us, all the trade unions, the workers, the NGOs, and ourselves, to be able to have a system of accounting that we're agreeing on, because in the past years up to today, we have been, I think it has been government in the center of recalling and recalling reports from the others, and we think that it actually creates an impression that like government want to put the master on the other partners as a bigger standard. In the discussions that far, the informal discussion that far, comes out that that kind of an institution will help a lot in terms of consolidating forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DM, for that presentation. I think we must all remember that the department is just coordinating. And it's good that they're now going to be putting up systems, especially for monitoring evaluation. That's the progress report. Can interact with the report. Mener Mare, Mr. Atiku, Mr. Tiziani, before the system is for the government, then the system. That's all. Thank you. In that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chair and Deputy Minister. I think just before we start with real interrogation, I think maybe this is the beginning of a new term, 5-year term for us, the new committee. And maybe it is good to hear again from you, what is the actual role of Economic Development Department in all these accords? Because in many of them you see that they are not a delivery department. And in some of them you see that government has been represented by not even the department. And in all the others, they are one of everybody that represent government. So what is the role in initiating all these accords? What is the role in getting to a conclusion on each of these accords? And what is the role to monitor and making sure that what has been committed to from an economic development perspective is actually happening? So in other words, that one can see that this Economic Development Department is just a one of many, but not a leading role player, and is it basically one of the passengers going along, or were there actual roles? Just to see what is because it's quite important, because one can ask a lot of questions about other departments, say, but why are they not doing it? Why are labor not doing it? Why is education not doing this? No, is it because they don't do the job? Just to get that commitment again. Then on if I go to slide 20 and 21 on infrastructure, for instance, in terms of the role of the PICC, I just want to get a sense of what do we mean by that local content. And I'll explain why. That's on, for instance, bus bodies and vehicle bodies. I remember once when I was part of a DTI portfolio committee, we went to Volkswagen South Africa. And there was all these bodies being tested. But none of that was manufactured in South Africa, because that specific thickness or grading or whatever of the metal sheet is not produced in South Africa. The ore might come from South Africa, but not the metal sheet. We've also seen at the plant where the bone molding was taking place, it was then seen as a South African product, but not the blow molders, as well as the pebbles for that is coming from South Africa. But eventually it was seen as a 100% South African manufactured product. I said to myself, but we're fooling ourselves. But I want to understand, what do we mean by, for instance, 80% on bus bodies and vehicle bodies and things like that, so that one can really get behind what is really going on. I want to ask the question on the Eskom money, that's 3.1 billion rand. We've just now picked up the government must against it in and support them with guarantees on loans. Are we sure that is cheaper than for instance getting that from, that's in page 22, from anywhere else? And have we done a calculation of the opportunity costs? And if so, what would that be? And then lastly, Madam Chair,
But we didn't understand. Can you repeat that question?
On the Eskom one?
Yes.
I was talking about the costs, that it was there said that Eskom awarded contracts to the capital expansion program with local content of 3.1 billion rand. So I was asking, is that the cheaper option as an opportunity cost being done? Because especially in the light of where... Pardon? Well, calculation to see whether, because we know what opportunity cost calculation means, imply. not only the value, the monetary value, but also the whole opportunity cost involved with that. And then lastly, it's linked to maybe my first one, is the monitoring and evaluation. And I want to understand that process of monitoring and evaluation and what happened, you know, because it doesn't matter if you have got monitoring and evaluation functions, but you've got no keys. So if you pick up something, what then? Is it, okay, we're taking notes, or can you actually do something about that? Is there a mechanism for that? Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Chair, and to the Deputy Minister as well, thank you for the presentation. Deputy Minister, just some bits of clarity. On page 9, I think it is, you mentioned the fact that 27,670 artisans have been trained in 2013 and 14. I'm just wondering where exactly do these guys, do the artisans get trained? Because as far as I remember, the old artisan training programs, as they were before, none of them operate as far as I know. But maybe you can give us a little bit of clarity as to where those artisans get trained and how you calculate that number. Then on page 25, we're looking at the consumables and the business that the government is doing for Africa. Your past report, of course, you mentioned that between 50 and 75% of recent pharmaceutical tenders were billions of rands gone to local producers. Now, we know that Aspen, South African pharmaceutical company, has become one of the biggest producers of pharmacological products in the world. I'm just wondering if we there'll be a lot of business to Aspen or whether there actually are the smaller businesses that we're helping out there. Then the one pharmaceutical, it's on page 25. The last bullet point there.
Can you just lower a bit?
All right.
Are you fine, DM?
I was just, the question I was asking there was that I know that Aspen is one of the largest producers of pharmaceutical products in the world, and it's a size company. I'm just wondering whether we're giving a lot of business to Aspen or whether we actually are empowering other smaller companies to provide us with pharmaceutical products. And then the next question was on page 29, where you spoke about the 443,947 solar water heaters that were rolled out as of the 27th of June. And I was just wondering, is that fairly evenly spread throughout the country, or is that mainly in Gauteng, or mainly in the Western Cape, or how is it spread basically? Is that something that's nationwide or just in one particular area? And then on page 31, you spoke about a target of procuring 3,725 megawatts under the new Renewable Energy Independent Power Producers Program. I was just wondering if you have some examples of that, because I'd be interested to know exactly how that's defined and what a renewable energy independent power producer actually is. And then on page, about towards the end, under your public sector internships, you mentioned the fact that there's not a page number here, it's 45, I think, it's page 45. Well, you mentioned all the internships and the public sector internship programs there. 77,000 young people have benefited, and then 15,152 interns are employed. I'm just wondering, how much do you pay interns? And these people that benefited through these programs, what are they getting on a monthly basis? Is it just to start paying, say, 1,000 rand a month, or what do they get for that? And those are my questions. Thank you.
You mean the thank you. Can you get in the number?
Thank you. My first question is, what is the mechanism used by the department, Deputy Minister, to observe or to assess annually if these accords are implemented in accordance to the plans? Because I firmly believe that these plans have to be tracked carefully with the partners. For instance, I would like to suggest something like an annual dialogue of peer review where all the stakeholders are called together and they share their experiences, because more often people get trapped in reasons of not being able to do it, whereas one next door is able to progress. And as a result, 3 years later, you report to their court deficiency in the numbers that were targeted. And I think this has been a trend right throughout. The other is the TVETs. I sit in the Higher Education Portfolio Committee. There is quite some progress there. But there is also a far cry in terms of internships. And I think the government as a whole is not going to be able to underwrite pivots into a new future if the private sector doesn't give those students the accredited moments to practice and to move on and be able to be able to proclaim as artisans, because the combination is full. And my worry is you can't put so many thousands of students through a system that will eventually ask for other players to participate for the student certificate to be granted. So I would like you to insist on the strong partnership between higher education and yourselves in pushing the quality of those numbers with the private players in particular. Look, everyone understands in South Africa the biggest nightmare is unemployment, and in particular the unemployment of black youth. And the statistics released yesterday, in fact, if it has anything to say about our future, it creates even a much more darker era for black youth, as it was released by Dead South Africa yesterday. And one of the biggest nightmares is the quality of what you always do to black youth. Whether you talk opportunities or you talk programs, and I think when you sit here as I'm enjoying the presentation, sometimes I wonder if all these things were to be scaled up in bigger numbers, if we will never actually maybe make a significant dent. I think more often we tend to moderate the numbers that we can do. And sometimes we tend to allow other social players to reasonably increase their interest of profiting in government programs instead of socially playing their role. And I think maybe in your negotiations, it is high time that you increase the volume of education so that government does not always come up with these programs and they are seen that or they are seen as an all nice to have. There has to be a commitment to really increase intakes, and most importantly, the intakes of black youth. Thank you.
Thanks,
No, I'm moving towards the left. Yeah, here is the left here. thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Chair. We want to thank the GM for this presentation. But we also just want to quickly indicate, Chair, that we should commend the department for continually ensuring that they deliver on the mandate of government. Because if you go through the presentation, the indication that you get, even before you engage in constructive or destructive criticism, but what you heard is that no one is sitting around, people are working, there is an attempt to try and ensure that the department delivers on its mandate so that a practical improvement in the living conditions of our people can happen, because at the end of the day, that is where we want to go. We want to see the empowerment of those people who previously were denied through the law an opportunity to participate in the economic sphere of the country. So as far as that is concerned, we think it is important for all of us, both from the right and from the left, to ensure that we do agree first that indeed something is happening in the department. Now, Chair, the social accords, report, or is there the phone from Mr. Atkins? It is trying to, not necessarily South Tank, but create a scene. So it's on a letter note, Mr. Atkins. We are saying this accord, as has been explained, they came as a result of a communication between the state, discussion, engagement with members of the public, with, you know, civil society, political parties, everyone. That is how the accord came into being. Now, we think it would help the department and government at large if those who have signed this accord indicate in their body language that they did not only sign, but that they are there to participate and to ensure a successful implementation of this bill. The concern that I have, Chairperson, you see, if you go through the presentation, you are able to see what the state-owned entities are trying to do, the state companies, all those opportunities that they're trying to create. They may not be perfect, you may not have said this one sufficiently and so on, but you see all these initiatives that government is undertaking through its structures, including your IDC, your CIFA, and so on, to make sure that they make a contribution towards creating this change, this transformation that we are all talking about. But the presentation indicates that even though auditing has not been completed on what the private sector is doing, but the presentation indicates that the private sector isn't necessarily doing enough in this regard. And there should not be confusion. We must all agree that the responsibility of government, as it is known everywhere, primarily is to create conducive conditions under which private individuals can then come in and find opportunities for themselves, through engagement in business activities and so on and so on. Government is not necessarily there per se to create jobs, but it does create jobs through the process of putting in infrastructure and so on, of correcting the mistakes of the past. Now, I think it is going to be critical as we proceed that the EDD should come closer to the private sector, because BUSA is also a signatory to one of the accords. There should be further engagement. We need to see the private sector doing that. I'm referring particularly to established business, doing more in ensuring that more jobs are created, that more of our young people are trained so that they acquire the skills that will enable them to participate in a fruitful way in the economic activities of the country. I see that APSA is taking some initiatives to try and build some trainerships and so on, so that they contribute towards building our young people. But I have a concern, Mr. Chairperson, and I think the department needs to look at that, or if they don't, through other departments of government, they need to look into that. You see, if you walk into a bank today, or you walk there last year, or you walk there tomorrow, you find these young people in the bank. You engage them in some kind of discussion. Many of them are demoralized, Honorable Chair. because all of, I think less than 10% is working there full time. Less than 10%. Most of them are working there on a temporary basis. There is no future there for them. They may be young, you know, people may say that they don't have the experience, blah, blah, and all those things. The fact of the matter is that we have the responsibility, particularly as business in South Africa, to make sure that we build the confidence of our young people by employing them properly. There are many accusations that are thrown at government from time to time that it creates job opportunities, but not proper jobs and so on. But we know that it is not necessarily the responsibility of government to create jobs. So we think that we should, Deputy Minister, be engaging some of these dignitaries, such as AFSA, to make sure that they do the right thing there and to empower our people. On the issue of the contract that were awarded by ESCOM of 3.1 billion, I have a different question there, Honorable Chairperson. The question is, of that 3.1 billion, how much of that has gone to emergent companies? How much of that has gone to emergent companies? Because it is important for us to be able to measure the kind of strides that we are making in empowering our people, Chairperson. Yeah, I'll stop there
just for now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dixon. Any other? Neranta, about beginning. Good morning, everybody, and my apologies for arriving late.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't have a question, just a concern that I would love to raise. I have raised it with the Department of Energy, but I think the economic development, because it has signed this accord and also it has made commitments, I think I should raise this, Chair, this issue of the solar geysers. You know, Chair, during May and June, I could not stay at home because the people that the community around me had a problem with the solar geyser. Our area is one of the coldest areas here in South Africa. I live in Alwa North, surrounded by Barley East, Jamestown, Dordrecht, and those areas that are very cold. The solar geysers that have been put in those houses, they not stand winter. And those solar geysers that have been placed there, they are causing so much trouble in our areas. The houses are leaking, others have burnt down, and the municipality does not know where these solar geysers coming from. So it comes back to me. They know that I'm in parliament. Everybody says, no, this is a parliament. So we've got a parliamentarian around here. My children had to have security because only of solar geysers. They could not go to school. They could not go to play. They could not do anything. They were that miserable. And I had to stay in East London, but I'm in Alwa North, because of the anger people had. I want this department, the Economic Development Department, to also take an initiative, Chair, to monitor and to see to it that these solar geysers, if they happen, I heard the DM saying that there are school children that there are students that are being trained to be able to maintain those solar geysers. I wish it can happen as soon as possible, because it is terrible. Terrible the way it is happening outside there. It's not like what is cases on paper. And those solar cases, they would be made for such and such an area. When these people come to that area, for example, those solar cases were meant for Ijogadi, a township next to ours. The Ijogadi, the way the electrification has been done in those RTP houses could not fit the type of solar geysers that were sent there. So they just transferred the solar geysers easily to our area because they could see the electrification of our area is much easier to put the solar geysers. Hence the problem that we have. Then just a comment.
Thanks, Mamba. I wish the municipality can take responsibility, just a little bit of responsibility, because I don't think that can happen without their knowledge. Okay. It's Babu.
Thank you very much, Chair. My chair is, I think the GM, when he was giving the report, he made a point that the issue of monitoring that they are going to be dealing with now. I think my comment is around that. It is important and critical that they do that so that we're able to allay these fears that we're having around other programs that they are not dealing with. That we're able to say this particular number is coming from this particular province and that's what is taking place there. But I want to say I'm really impressed with the well prepared, you know, and the way that covering the report. You see the role that we play as a coordinating department. I think it becomes clearer the more we meet, the more we deal with these aspects of work. Particularly the issue of localization that we are busy with. I want you to make sure that you deal with that more, particularly the issue of localization. It is very critical. As the department has started it, it must make a point that at least it moved to more or less 80%, or they're quite impressed with that. So that we are able to own our products in this particular area. So that these issues of geyser, of my colleague, we can deal with them at any stage. So I wanted to talk about that, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The beginning, that's all. Thank you very much, sir, for the comments. I think it's important also to note that where this particular social accord came from. How did they come about? And why is it important that we increase our monitoring and evaluation? And why are we saying we're happy also that the department has started at least in the process of establishing a mechanism? Establishing itself to set up a mechanism on how best to really look into the issues. My question, GM, is around the money that was given to Iveco. About 200 million, I'm supposed to say. To increase local content. Just want to find out, I was trying to check on the documents, how many jobs were created out of that. So if you look at Iveco, is the company that has its presence in about 11 countries, and it employs about 25,000 employees. And I'm a bit worried as to whether 600 million, I know they're dealing with component issues and manufacturing of small to very large transport, whether it's in a form of car or in the form of trucks. They manufacture that, but I just want to understand as to how many 600 million, how many jobs did it manage to create? I'm aware that they also sourcing from other areas, but it is important that out of that 25,000, how many has been created in South Africa alone? And whether we couldn't find any companies, for instance, or whether there are, let me ask this way, are there companies that are encouraged locally through such funding? I know in some way in Witbank, in Mpumalanga, there was a company that was it was the Maseko company, if I remember well. They were also producing, you know, the big, even the yellow fleet, that's the capacity they had. But whether they're able to be supported so that they are also sustained, because they were showcased by the Department of Trade and Industry, TTI. I recall some time back in the, in Maputo Fair, chauffeur with the West showcase there. But you can't just showcase, you have to support. I think that's what it means too. So that you also encourage the emerging entrepreneur to also see an opportunity or get an opportunity of flourishing. On the training project that is done in collaboration with the FEP on the solar water issues, I just want the timeline and how many students currently are in that, maybe I've missed that in the document, but I just want to find out as to how many and what are the timelines, by when. I know that Umamrantu said it should be done as soon as yesterday, but just to be sure of how you know, coordination work, what timelines are given here, and for how many students, what the target per year. Maybe the ultimate target would be more appropriate if you can give us that. The second chance students, I've seen the success rate in terms of what you've given us. I just want to find out, because normally we see the success rate being above 70%. What happens to the remainder? Are we able to follow them up and see to it that at least they're encouraged even further to continue themselves? Because, or even if they go through the FEP instead of, you know, being put in the mainstream, you know, learning process, to be taken somewhere else where they can at least be helped to cope rather than to be forced here. What happens to them? It is, I'm much more interested in that, as to what is it that they do. South Africa is a youthful country. We just don't want to see many more in the streets. And I think that's why there are many initiatives that the government is coming up with. But then our role is to ensure that we follow up, whether it's through the basic education accord, which is really, in as far as I understand, is to make sure that we take up every child, take every child out of the streets, so that every child can be active in his or her community. Yes, once more, I just want to applaud you by really ensuring that you have this monitoring and evaluation, because this has been an outcry for some time. And we are hoping to see the fruit that will be born by this particular initiative. Just to remind you that, you know, the social accord came, it's a mandate actually, the network process coordination was a mandate given to the department. You know that previously it was a mandate of the Labor Department, but immediately, because after the department was established and the new growth path came in, there was a necessity to ensure that things are speeded up. So hence, the coordination aspect was then given to this department. The work is still done there. Everybody still participates. But the Department of the Economic Development Department's role is to ensure that everything is done. Everything is coordinated. Yes, it might not have the chief, but at least it has that coordination role, and it is acknowledged by all role players that it is playing that role. Of course, in every situation, there will always be an excuse. But in this case, I think we've seen also NECLEC being very active and fast-tracking most of the, you know, the processes that they needed to fast-track. So I just want to encourage the department that you proceed. The work that you're doing, we could see it. And we have clearly stipulated a course that have been signed, but as one member said, it is important that the good work that you're doing also, it doesn't just go without being noticed, especially from the private sector. It must ensure that it does its job, because it's like now they've put aside their social responsibility. Because initially we were saying, why can't the private sector put aside all the money that that is meant for social responsibility, put it aside and collectively, contribute, and then it be distributed from the coffers that where they would have been contributed into. It is important that is done, and it's important that we from time to time compare whether what they have put as social investment within their companies is translated into what they're doing in as far as their costs are concerned. We need to continue to compare that and not leave it to the companies to just select. As to this is how much we want to do, and the rest we leave it. So, DM in the DG can give you the opportunity to respond.
Thanks, Chair, and also would like to appreciate the input that is given by members. It sounds like an extended consultation with the communities. Of course, it shows that these are members that are representing communities. We appreciate the various areas that we have been suggested that we should look at. The issue around looking at what is happening to those students that are falling apart falling by the wayside on the federal chance. We will be looking at that and trace that. We didn't have it, I think, in our presentation. We have noted that, and we also gave a feedback in terms of what is it that we found out and what is it that we're being on it. On the timeline for solar givers and maintenance and for the students, the number of students that are in the college now, we will also be able to provide it at the later stage. I wouldn't like to venture to my colleagues such giving a number now. I think we should process it and just bring it back in to times. On the Iveco investment share is that it got a question IPC, and it was a co-funding on a factory under construction. The exports will create 1,000 permanent jobs, and we have noted the issue around what about the others, and this is the example that we can probably follow it up. A team that look at struggling
entrepreneurs or people who are coming with very critical initiatives that will create jobs. And there's a team that will set that, and they interact with them and do the necessary interventions and take them through the processes. If there are weaknesses in them, they assist them to address those weaknesses or give them to an institution that could actually assist them to do that. We'll take that and look at that as an example of what use that as a process to identify what has gone wrong with those that we're dealing with those with that company that you mentioned. We will be monitoring the localization and we'll be we'll be looking at that. It's our focus, actually, localization between our sub and GTI is our area of focus. Because we want to make sure that while we grow, while there's growth, while we're looking at GDP, we mustn't lose out on the employment side. And the employment side can be so when we create opportunities for people to be able to, opportunities for local people to start industrializing and exercise their entrepreneurial capacity at a local level. She will agree with me that we have to go to the island north. We'll have to interact with with the Department of Energy. And we need to, this is a matter that needs, it may be a case which we use to see how that can be resolved. I mean, if I don't think that we can then say that given the uniqueness of this challenge, I don't think it's something that we can say we'll wait for the students to come out and come back. I think we should actually go there and see what is it that can be done as urgent as possible. Because the others here, their challenge is that people still are able to live with that environment. But it is maybe the class of people that are able to something that we need to go through and attempt to make. That is the issue around the young people in the financial sector. We'll take that to the social partners as well when we go and discuss that these are the feedback that we're having, these are in the work that we're doing, this weakness that we're having, even in terms of the nature of our employer. We can't be waiting for the tax incentive to employ. I think in what we can, we need to also carry out what we're supposed to be doing. We'll have that discussion with the social partner and see how they can how can respond to that. Probably EDD, we might want to do an analysis on the financial sector employed. What is the meaning of that employment? Is it because is it sustainable? What are the proportions? And I think members here in this committee, again, I think it was Honorable Mare and Honorable Bikinin, they said ask the same question. In the financial sector, what are the proportions of full-time employment and temporary employment? I think it's something that should take just to check what the impact that it has. The private sector role in the efforts is the next step that we want to take. Also had an interaction with the deputy minister in the presidents around the youth efforts. He shared the same sentiment. He also shared the same sentiment that says maybe the meeting of principals can come. We need to come now. What the honorable minister calls a convention where we look at best practices as well. It's something that's in the pipeline. On the 31 billion on how much goes to emerging companies, I think we should come back in writing. Besides that, we can just say that when there's an allocation, ESCOM is bound to, and our state-owned companies are bound by the WEN. black empowerment quotes to say this is what you must have and also this one. But we'll come back with a return so that we can give the breakdown of those. Honorable Mbata, on the mechanism, I just want to say thank you for the suggestions that you have made in terms of strength partnership and with the shared partner in relation to the internship. But just to indicate that if you look at the report as well, you can see that that kind of a partnership, what it has achieved thus far, and the question of like scaling it up and sustaining it, will be looking at it. That is but it's the center of what we've been looking on all the time. Black employment, the quality of employment may be something that we should actually be looking at EDD, evaluate those qualities of employer that youth are employed in. Can we scale up and limit the thirst for profit? It's that balance that we always have to carry out. And I think members here, in general, even when we are making input, we are saying, yes, in as much as we want to make profit, can we also emphasize the issue of employment in the center of that profit making? Can we emphasize the usage of this profit for expansion rather than to for something else? I think this is the essence of what members are saying is something that is in the center of what we are doing. All these localizations and so on are trying to enforce that. I don't see an opportunity and just look at where to get the product, Brazil or somewhere else, and just bring it in, start looking at what are the opportunities that you should have created for the other entrepreneur next to you to grow and to grow. Mechanisms to, I've already spoken to the issues of mechanisms to assess progress. Mr. Atkinson, where are the artisans trained? Our FETs are the center for the training of the artisans, and we have got Transnet has got its own. ESCOM does have its own training institution. I have a number of private companies that do of course, so far, BHP has got the college that is registered with the Department of... So the numbers that we're talking about actually come out of those kind of institutions. The 50% and 75% so goes to aspect. I think, DG, if you have an answer, you can answer, but I think it's something, if we don't, we have to take it back. Gives us the provincial square. Yes, we do have a provincial square. Almost every province does have a project like that. But we have the massive numbers, we find them in the densely populated areas, your Gauteng, your Western Cape, your KZN, and we have the bigger numbers, the bigger volumes will go there. But they are like spread even various rural areas. So, but bigger numbers are in the bigger centers where you've got a concentration of housing. Why paying for internship? Minimum stipend is at 4,500. That's what we can say, and it depending on the volumes and the pressures that they are actually putting them on, they might even adjust it. But that's minimum that we it's actually that. teachers, I would like you to speak about the IPT issues as well. But on the role of EDD, I think the chair has summarized our role firstly, our interest is in the implementation of the NGP, the creation of jobs and inclusive growth, and these aspects are happening. They're actually stimulated in different areas, in agriculture, when it comes to land issues, minerals, in DMR and DTI looking at industry. So it spread all over. So education, even in terms of input, the supply side of your labor skills and so on. So they are related. But what is our role? Is to consolidate and say, what is it that we have said in this, all these areas might be done? And can they be done? Are there new opportunities to do that? So you then do and then intervention where there's no movement, and intervention where there's an opportunity that is put down, and an intervention where there's an opportunity that comes from the communities and from the citizens of the country that says we have got this and it's not catered anyway. That those are the things that we actually carrying out. So in this in the social accords, the role of our role is the social accord is also part of the role, because that's when you bring in the partners to say, here is a challenge and where should we all of us go. So and this feedback that we're giving is a feedback that we give to our partners and say, are you aware that this is one of how we're performing? Are you aware that we are behind on this one? You might be having passion on what you're saying and you think that we're moving, but are you aware that actually you're supposed to kind of follow? So that's basically what we do. And we look for further opportunities. As was reporting, I said, even though that didn't sign, now they're coming in and say, we hear their social or their things that are related to us that we do. Can we come in also and participate? So it's us to bring, to ensure that we have that. So we need, in the workplace, harmony. We need a workplace harmony in the society, and we need also consolidation at an institutional level. So we guard on all those that are directed to giving us jobs and goals. So that's the work. We're consolidating the efforts of everyone to give us that. On the local content, what do you mean? Especially on the issues of the bus bodies. I would like you just to take the, to speak to the details of this. I'd rather speak to the local content. There are two sides of things that we look at. Whether there's an industry, that is, whether there's an industry, there's a company or a capacity in the country that is already doing that. For instance, you can't go and look for and to import parts when you've got a company that is actually manufacturing parts. So we had to use that to say, look, if indeed we have to do this and the numbers are not enough, please, can we have a proportion of this nature? But beyond that also, there are products that you find that you cannot even do them in South Africa. There are certain components that you can do. You then start designating those ones that your local can do. For example, your tank of your geyser, you might say the rubber is there in South Africa, can manufacture it. So if you bring us, you can bring us the whole component fit in the flow. So even in the automotive, there are certain things that are designated, you know, leather chairs and what. And start to say, but you can't import us leather when you've got leather in South Africa. So those are you play around. Even if your product is targeted somewhere else, you play around the components in order to maximize your industrialization capacity in your country. That is the intention of that. Sometimes we do have products that are only need. Even if you look inside, you can see that this thing you cannot. Or it's so insignificant, even if you were to designate. That's why then the Treasury and DTI, each annually, they will determine out of what we have, which are the ones that we should designate, which are the ones that we should leave alone. So that is what it's all about. So in the buses, that's, yes, the assembly is here, but there are certain things, the component, the whole canopy is not yours, because it's targeted somewhere else. But the other aspects of the past, then negotiate those ones without leaving the pattern that is protected somewhere else. So that's a, the kind of practice if I was to explain that. We will maybe speak a little bit on, just give some details on ESCOM. I would like to on what's a cheaper option on ESCOM. If you put in all these conditions of localization, is it not going to, is it not one that is creating a problem of fire? I understood the question to be saying. Yes, when you do transformation, sometimes there is a cost that is involved. You will definitely have it. But the question is, because there is a cost, do you leave it up? You will have to incur a particular cost, but I'll leave it to my brother just to speak to that particular one. Our monitoring, the chair, I think, has spoken to the issue of monitoring and the team. We are monitoring, and sometimes you don't need to, you don't need a court or something. Sometimes, just by the nature of providing information to your social partner, those are cheap. They make people to feel, yeah, we need to do something. For instance, when we're giving a preliminary report to the private sector and to Busa, and they say, look, this is where you are you happy with what you have? And they say, hang on, can we go and evaluate this information that we are having with our members? We think something here is not some areas we think are exaggerated, some we think are under. So we want to go and we can't have a report that goes into Parliament. We might be misleading, and we don't want to be. You know, please give us up to September today. Did you?
Chairperson, thank you, and good morning to honourable members. I'm just going to pick up on the renewable energy question, the REIPP. It's a renewable energy independent power producer. It's part of the integrated energy plan. This is a mechanism by which renewable energy is provided by private companies, and that's the independent power producers. But it's a process in which that renewable energy links back into the grid. So it would cover sun, wind, hydro, biogas processes, the full range of renewable energy. The process is led by DOE. It's a procurement process. We're on one three rounds, three windows of those bids, and each one has a particular energy allocation that comes through. 1,406 megawatts for the first one, 1,044 megawatts for the second window, and 1,556 for the third window. So those three windows identify 60 preferred bidders, and they're going to be generating about 10% of the energy required. And there are three of those projects that have already started to put energy back into the grid. So I hope that's just a sense of what it is. It's something that as we go through each window, we are learning about it. And obviously, again, in the same way that solar water uses, one of the issues comes up as we move forward is ensuring local content to it and obviously then the building of the capacity as we go through. I would suggest that in relation to the detail around the ESCOM processes that we explore with ESCOM, whether we can provide a response on that in writing. I think the BM has answered it in principle, but we are bound by the PPA, but to a large extent it depends on how you cast your tender process. To say that it's the mix of what we want to do. But I think we need to be responsible in relation to that. And then I think that... Sorry? My apologies. What I was saying in terms of the issue of the ESCOM and whether it was a cheaper option and whether an opportunity cost assessment was done, those details obviously we would need to get from ESCOM, and we can provide feedback on it. But I think the DM has asked in principle that it does depend to a large extent to what it is that you want to get out of the process, and there's always a balance between a variety of different factors in the tendering process. I thought that it might be useful for Christian Prince, who is our nodal person in terms of the local procurement, to just add if there was anything that he would want to add in terms of what do we mean by local content and local manufacturing. And then, of course, to explain that the team sitting on my left is the team that you will engage with any time you want to engage on the course. Local procurement, Christian Prince, Pato Sekita in terms of Bean Economy, Opal Badiba in terms of youth and the skills report, and Olivia Zarrar is overarching, bringing them together. Part of what we also experience as we pull together this team is that there's a lot of information that actually relates a proper. So green economy issues and youth mesh, local procurement and green economy mesh. So we are trying to ensure that we get that we pull together a better understanding across them. But I think I could hand over to, other than that, because I think that we've answered all of the questions, but perhaps if we've missed them, if you could indicate.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. Just to Mr. Mahi's question on the bus bodies and the local content, the second commitment of the report was actually establishing a local global content specification, so that when the commitment was signed. How it's implemented is through a designation process, so when something is designated, the DPI, together with the African Bureau of Standards, puts in place a technical specification standard for local content for that specific product. So it's known as the SATS 1.6 African technical specification standard, and that goes via a local content verification office that was also set up between SATS.
Just the members and the other colleagues. The fresh outside, if you want to help yourself, please do so quietly.
Thank you, Jefferson. So, once it's designated, it is incumbent upon, it's incumbent upon the chief procurement officer, whoever does the procurement of the buses, to ensure that the technical specification standard has been complied with. There's a potentially a longer answer in that whether the verification is carried out at the moment, and that's part of a DTI review on designations.
Okay. Do you want to add?
Okay. A small addition on the IPPs. The IPPs are actually emphasized in the NDP in terms of how we should have our agencies and manage the issues around the supply and the generation and supply.
I'm noting the follow-up questions.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just a question to the DG. Maybe in a future presentation, if you wouldn't mind giving us an example of some of those renewable energies, because what I find interesting is that it's going to provide 10% of South Africa's energy requirements. We're looking at the energy requirements for what the entire output of energy is out of Nigeria, because Nigeria only generates about 10% of the energy that South Africa does. So we actually look at renewable energy at the level that Nigeria is at the moment, more interesting. So it would be interesting. The question is, if you could provide us with some examples, the future would actually be very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you. But I think FDG has recommended, and personally by the DM, that perhaps we want to invite ESCOM or have a joint meeting with the public enterprise, when we look at this kind of issues in detail, because I know there's a whole lot of presentations around the issue as we're thinking now that will further explain what alternative energy is all about.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You've captured what I was going to say in regards to the issue of ESCOM. But as a matter of interest, perhaps if the GM and the team would just indicate, I know it's not something that they have prepared for, but it's a fact that South Africa has been assembling cars for a very long time, from time to immemorial. We have never up to this day been able to produce our own car. Is there an indication, are you aware of what our scientists and our engineers are saying about the possibility of us manufacturing our own engine and boat. Because that would take us, you know, very far in terms of job creation. And it will also boost the morale generally of the nation if we are able to produce our own car. If you can't produce your own car, it appears that you are in trouble if you can't produce at least your car, let alone going to the moon or somewhere else, just to produce a car. You see, let us start to produce a car. And lastly, Chairperson, these booklets are very good. They are small, you read them quickly, understand what is happening. I know that it's enough for the department to make sure that the partners, the social partners, get the copies. But I'm not sure if we are also, in a way, finding a budget to distribute them somewhere, so that ordinary people, in a way, even if it's not in big numbers, they should be aware that these things that are happening. Because sometimes you have certain social partners who say things, but when they go out there, they say nothing about it. Because if they say something, it will be saying the government is doing well. So they sigh, but then from there they keep their head in the sand. Can we just hear if maybe this has been distributed? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Deputy Minister, your answer on the cost-benefit analysis is very, I mean, with all due respect, no, that's not an answer on cost-benefit analysis. Those are some of the subjective elements within a total cost-benefit analysis that you do. And I think those are part of the realities that you look at. But my question is still, whether we have done a cost-benefit analysis. You know, you're not only looking at perceived benefit, you're looking at real benefits, and you have a debit side and a credit side, and obviously they with everything, and then eventually you say, yes, it has got a cost, but here are the benefits and the spin-off benefits, so this is why we do it, and that's why it's justified, with all due respect, not the answers that you've given me. The other question also about the role, and my biggest concern is, and it links to the previous meeting that we had and the answers, the questions that I've put and the answers that the GD has given. My only concern really, and I say this with all sincerity, we have to, when we've done all these accords, then obviously there must be a way that you identify via intelligence or whatever your point of is that there's a problem that is going to appear, and how are we going to mitigate what is going to happen, or when something has happened, what do we do? You remember I asked the question about the jobs that has been lost in manufacturing and agriculture and mining, and the answer by the DG was nothing was done. Not prior, not immediately after. Now, that is my concern about economic development. You have to be aware of these things that pop up and say, hey, that might jeopardize our plan. We get to a 5% or a 6% growth, so we must identify now, so we must deal with them before they become a problem. Because we see what is happening now, and everywhere, the Reserve Bank, everybody, the labor survey, has identified these things as the reasons for the very poor GDP. So in other words, it shows that we must be aware of these things, and we cannot close ourselves off until that happens, and once, only after that, you say, okay, let's learn now from that. That is my concern. That is real economic growth, and that is preventing that we are going offline. I think we've come too long. There's a lot been done. I don't think we can afford to redo everything. We have to correct things as we go along, and not wait until. Madam Chair, I just want to mention about the bodies of the Deputy Minister and about cars. One of the things that's been assessed is currently exploring potential for local production of car bodies, not just bus bodies, but car bodies. And those are just the realities that was given to us and that I've seen and experienced myself. And that I said, you know, that is not local manufacturing. Don't tell me that's 100% local manufacturing. And remember, in that case, it was so automized there was very few, if any, jobs that has been created by that. But it was suddenly seen as 100% local content, which is not the case. And those are the things that I think that we must pick up, even in terms of the feedback that was given. So is that really local content, or is that via a process like I've explained now? Now it's been seen as 100% local content. See what I did.
Thanks, Mr. Mara. What I'm happy about is the acknowledgement of the role of EPP in terms of the intervention. You see the need for EPP to intervene, which is something that you never believed in before. And I'm happy that you can see now that there's space for it to come in and do something about such situation. Yes. That's true, but I also want to indicate that the EM did preface when he was responding to opportunity cost assessment issue. He indicated that he's not going to give you a full answer now because he will be telling lies. That's why he said he's still going to come back with a written reply. So, hence, you are not satisfied, and he did not expect you to be satisfied because he did not have full answer. So I think we must give him that opportunity to get his facts right and then come back to us with facts. I don't know if you have quick responses to the follow-up, and then so that we can continue.
Very quickly.
Exactly, and for on the own car, because the GM was not. We do have electric car. That's South Africa. The challenge is financing. You see, that's why it is getting everybody to talk, so that they can see the importance of some of this innovation. You know, because you can come up with your own innovation, but if you can't get support, whether it's financial or otherwise, you can't manage. So our Department of Science and Technology is trying its best. DTI is trying, but it cannot only be government, as it always been said. It has to be everybody, hence this dialoguing process, so that each and every member or citizen of South Africa, whether in the capacity as an entrepreneur or as a public servant or as a civil civic or resident or whatsoever, must find a role to play in practicalizing that innovation, making it reality. So unless we get that together, it's our responsibility together, we won't be able to do anything. I'm just giving you that example because it has been there, and the poor man has been crying foul to say, I need money, I need money. And nobody is prepared to come to the table with the money. Yeah. So I think we need to talk about those issues. And then we have been with Mr. Mare before your time, before you came in, DM. And the DG before he came in. We've been to VW in the Eastern Cape. We've been to where Nissan, BMW in the Pretoria plant. We've seen everything there. We've been to Kuha where there are incubators in terms of the small nuts and bolts, the way they are manufactured, you know. South Africa is trying to create local content. We've seen all those things. The challenge is the speed at which we move to ensure that we have that. And the other challenge is that it's of commitment by everybody. Because if you go to those areas, you look at who's involved, still some external companies, if not yet internal companies. And that's what we need. We need South Africa to ready itself to, you know, to participate. And unless we push and we get commitment also from South Africans themselves, won't be able to do that. So it's something that is happening, but as whether we are able to feel it as yet, it's something else. And this is where I think the courts are playing a very important role. May I then give hand over to you to respond to some of the issues?
Thanks, Chair. I think you assisted in responding to some of the issues. Just to re-emphasize here that indeed science and technology is seriously involved in various research, and actually reorienting even the research to speak to the kind of issues that we want to have, not like the research that is based on hope. Yes, we have some, and there are those that are actually focused on critical issues that support industrialization, including the minister speaking to the speaking to the issue of the radical car is looking at in terms of the power issue. And the electrical car, because you don't everybody is making cars, so don't come in and want to reinvent the prestige. I don't know what your prestige is going to look like, because what makes the car is designated by what kind of a prestige that is there. So you can't say it's a new car because you're changing the kind of the body parts to it. It must have the prestige must be a key to say it. Can have a different kind of a piece in the time, and it's not a new time. So that's why we have the South Africans who have ventured into the new area. Can we use electricity and an electric vehicle? So if you come up with that one, it means that you have come up with a new innovation. So you are not repeating, you are not replicating or adapting. So that's probably the case. Did you, the accounting officer, do you have money to do more on the, I think you should comment on that. Did you? The rest, I think the chair clarified the question.
Chairperson, thank you. Indeed, we do have a communications budget, and I think that the direction that's been given is very useful. Our distribution so far had been through social partners having conferences or our own conferences or those types of meetings. But I think that the Honourable Member has raised an issue that we will need to look more seriously and look at a proper distribution strategy. But at times one wonders, given that we of course were some 2 years ago, should one continue to be producing the booklets? But I think the way in which we've engaged today indicates clearly that it is important for us to continue to distribute these booklets as they are, and what we will do is to actually work out a distribution strategy and explore what are the opportunities for us to be able to get it more generally available.
Thank you very much. Any other addition? No. Okay, thank you very much. I guess we all are on top of everyone else in terms of information related to the implementation of the accord. I was impressed this morning when I heard the basic education one being discussed in the CSM. To me it was private sector coming, you know, in explaining how they see the whole thing and where they find weaknesses or gaps and how do they think. And then also listening to the members of the public, you know, contributions, it was very interesting to look at it from various dimensions. What is also important is that these accords are for the public. Let them be discussed publicly. Mm-hmm. Let's see whether everybody can come, whether it's SAFM, whether it's on TV, one of the shows. Discuss this accord, see whether everybody is committed enough or they just events, you know, committed where they are events and then they find it easy and very fashionable to append a signature on something. We must see these people actively involved. You know what Entertainment is saying is very true. People sometimes find themselves coming in, doing this thing and going. And after that, they don't care whether they want to inform their own people. They don't go back and give them feedback. They're the only people who own this this story, nobody else, and nobody must know about it. So I think the only way of doing away with that is to by informing people at large. You know, and as government are very good at that. Let's do it, let's initiate that. As the EDP, let our economic, our communication and marketing person do the work so that everybody knows about this, and so that anybody who does not play the game will be exposed and obviously will begin to shape up also. Because we are doing this for South Africa to rise. If we don't do it, South Africa won't rise, and then we won't have our own landmark, and we want that. So to be proudly South African, we have to create our own story. And the story you create is by participating. You don't sit back and want things to happen. So this is what we are saying. And GM, thank you very much, and the DG for the presentation. We are clear on what is being done and what is following afterwards. I think there are a few issues that you have to revert back to us on. I hope that you've noted them. Very important is so that members also can show that we are on the right track. I think one would be the regarding the solar water heaters, the visit to Alwal North. I think also in one of our oversight trips, we have to go to Alwal North just to see, because last time when we were in the Eastern Cape, we did pass through lots of areas, because we drove, I think, from Port Elizabeth to East London. We couldn't catch the flight, it wasn't enough, so we had to drive. So we had that opportunity to see all those areas. We drove through those areas. We saw all those, and we were commenting Eastern Cape to say that's the best. I think that's where we've seen the solar water heaters being installed in numbers in the area. And by then we commended the municipalities that they were doing a good job. Not knowing that there was such crisis. We thought the expo there by cut lunch was just around Alexandra, which is, we thought that was the only area. But now that the Honorable Rancho has really informed us about what's happening at Alwal North, it is important that we follow up also. We'll see that as the department goes there, we'll also want to go and see it for ourselves. I think the GM also committed to coming back to us on the issue of the opportunity cost assessment with regard to the issue that Ababu, Mr. Mare was raising. The Aspen issue, details around that vis-a-vis other local companies. The issue around the $3.1 billion, is that the one? How many goes to various sectors, women, the youth, and the previously disadvantaged children, and the disabilities, because we sometimes forget the disabled. Or the second chance students, we said to come back to it. The analysis on the financial sector, I'm not sure whether you said you're going to do a broader analysis in as far as the financial sector vis-a-vis the youth, or is it on specific matters?
We're saying, Chef, that it's something that arose.
that we feel that it can make sense if an integrated engineer approach, even they're going to analyze and see what impact of environment and financial sector. So it's like something that we're saying is an eye opener, I want to take with them.
Okay. So
it's
as far as employment is concerned?
Yeah.
Okay. And in as far as entrepreneurial financing, maybe we can add that, because I think we've tried a lot through previously CULA to involve them, but it wasn't as successful as we wanted to be. I think that's another area that we can look at in addition to the employment issues. Okay, I think what this committee will need to do is to check in terms of the renewable energy fund issues that are related to one of our NPP, IPP, to check as to how far have they gone, because they are financing this innovation, but we don't know how far are they. So it's maybe we need to make that follow up with IDC, because it's trust with that responsibility also. The other issues on the youth fund, which the 2.7 billion. We know that something has been done there through CIFA and IPP, but we just don't understand why is it taking that long to spend that money, and is it enough? That what has been spent that far, is it enough? When there are so many youngsters who can't access funding for their businesses. Thank you very much, GM and TJ again, and the delegation from the department for what you've given us this morning. We are truly better than when we came in the morning in terms of information. Ours is just to take it back where we're coming from and educate others on this particular information. Continue making South Africa proud. And intervening where possible. Thank you very much. Members also, for your coming and also your attendance and your participation. I think the department always find it very fruitful to engage with us, because from time to time we are able to show them areas where they need to improve and where they can do better than us. What they are doing currently. We thank you for your valuable contributions. Thank you very much. The meeting then stands adjourned early today. We can have time to do other things. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I saw you.